The name of the game is Connect Four.
Gotcha! Four cross. One more game.
Object, connect four of your checkers in a row while preventing your opponent from doing the same. But look out, your opponent can sneak up on you and win the game.
I won.
Where? I can't...
Here, diagonally.
Pretty sneaky, sis.
Connect Four, the vertical checkers game from Milton Bradley.
Well, with tabletop game popularity at an all-time high, game nights are more popular than ever. There's a new book out, coming soon from Simon & Schuster called How to Host a Game Night. And gaming enthusiast Eric Arnenson joins us tonight. Eric, thanks for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure, David. Thank you so much.
You know, playing board games in my home has really picked up since we were all sequestered back in March. And I'm hearing that from everyone. I'm kind of glad to hear that.
Yeah, you know, board games and jigsaw puzzles are both having a real surge in popularity right now, and I think especially board games, because they're so interactive and a great way to get to know each other while you're spending time indoors.
You know what, the game part is fun because it's just challenging. It's a great opportunity to bond with your family, and but the puzzles, I can't do it. I have no long strand of attention enough to do those minute little things. But you've been a board game enthusiast for a long time. When did your fascination begin with all this?
Well, that commercial you just played, it's probably the, you know, playing Connect Four with my little sister when we were 6-7 years old is probably the first gaming memory that I have. And so I've been playing games all my life. At one point, my collection, I had more than 1,000 games.
Wow.
So it's really been a big thing for me, a lot of fun.
You know, if going through the games themselves, like, you know, I've got a list here, and I'm going to talk to you about each of these games, but I've got a list of like what people have considered like the top 50 board games of all time. You know, growing up here in Chicago, we also had a summer place up in Twin Lakes, Wisconsin, and on rainy days or maybe outdoors at night, the game of life was always at the ready. That is the ultimate game. By the way, that's the number one board game I have found on multiple lists. Do you agree? Is that at least one of the big ones for you?
Is, you know, if you're talking about cultural impact and just great memories with your family, it's hard to beat the game of life. You know, everybody remembers the little blue cars, the little pink pegs, all those things.
Where would you what would you say again for you, top five, top ten, like what are the big games for you?
I enjoy a lot of the classics. You know, I've always been a big fan of Clue. I'm a huge fan of crime shows on TV too, and so Clue's definitely in there. And then some more modern games lately have been really ones I've enjoyed the most. Ticket to Ride, which is where you're building a train network across the United States, and of course every train network goes through Chicago. We all know that. And then Wingspan is a beautiful game. It sounds a little odd, maybe. It's about bird watching, but what you're doing is you're trying to collect birds, and they work together to develop a sort of ecosystem in the game, and it's really fascinating how everything works together there.
By the way, if you or your family, your spouse, your friends have been playing board games these last few months, give us a call. Tell us what you rediscovered, maybe what your favorite board game is of all time. If you got a question for Eric, 312-981-7200. You mentioned Clue. One of my favorites as a kid. And I've got, you know, I like collecting different versions of the board games. I'm sure you do, too.
Yeah.
Clue, I actually found at a, not a yard sale, a, God, what am I thinking? It's a estate sale. And I found, like, in its shrink wrap, the Clue game that I had as a kid, the version from the 70s. And I thought, yeah, right, in the shrink wrap. And I bought it, man. It just brought back so many memories just looking at the board. Number three, the big game, number three is Candyland. That's where they consider number three. Would you say so?
Yeah, you know, look, I'm a little old for Candyland myself, but again, everybody has played Candyland and has memories of playing Candyland with their parents, so it's got to be up there.
The first official Monopoly game hit the market back in 1935. You know, the game of buying, doing all those other things. I think I have, and I've talked about this before, I think I have about 35 or 40 versions.
Wow.
Of that game. And some of them are just the Opolis that you buy locally
Yeah.
for your community. But but a majority of them are, you know, all the sports ones, Cubs, Blackhawks, Bears here locally. And then, you know, the Three Stooges, the Wizard of Oz, Star Wars, you know, just all the different versions, SpongeBob, Family Guy, like whatever game has been popular at that time. And my kids love just picking a different one and playing. I would say that is probably the most common board game we play every day.
Yeah, that's terrific. And, you know, you've noticed this, of course, but a lot of those games, sometimes they tweak the rules a little bit. They certainly have different property names, different this, to give it a real feel for, you know, when you're playing Family Guy Monopoly, it's Family Guy Monopoly. It's not just regular Monopoly. It can be a lot of fun.
Here's what it does, whether you're just playing with adults or playing with kids. It really does. It takes a little time to disconnect, but it really does get you off your phone, get you off your laptop, your iPad, whatever you're doing, or the television. It really has created such amazing bonding time where we're all actually looking at each other and engaged in something other than watching something.
Yeah, it's wonderful, isn't it? There's a study out from Nielsen a year or two ago that Americans are now spending, on average, more than 11 hours a day between work and home staring at screens, and being able to get away from that and do something enjoyable, like playing a board game, is just wonderful.
Yeah, need a break. We need a break. Scrabble's the other one that rounds out number five. Strategy.
One of my favorites.
Yeah, Scrabble, right?
Yeah.
It's smart. It's a smart game. You learn a lot from it, I think, as well. Popular strategy board games. Now, those I have to be in a different mood for altogether. I mean, you know, I was a big fan as a kid of Stratego. But those are just a little bit different. I mean, you got to be in the right frame of mind, and you got to be in a pretty competitive mood, right?
That's true. Yeah, it's very different going into one of those games than it is a more casual, relaxed game, for sure. And there's so many options that you know, you can go into something that's a really hardcore, intense strategy game, and then there's every gradation down to something that's very simple but still a lot of strategy.
I'd say Battleship is another really good one. I found you can buy these retro versions of these games too that I've seen that I think I enjoy a little bit more because they just look vintage. So Battleship, I know there's like a 1960s version you can get at Target. Risk, there's a 1959 board game you can get at Kohl's. But these are ones that, you know, Stratego, as I mentioned, Axis and Allies is another one. Just plain chess.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Chess, backgammon, you know, checkers, obviously the simplest of the three. Then you move to backgammon probably in the middle, and chess if you're really into the deep strategy. That 1959 Risk you were talking about, that's the board. I still have my dad's copy of Risk, and that's the edition that he had, so that one pulls at my heartstrings a lot.
At a whole other level, there are really great board games for kids. You mentioned Connect Four. We played that leading in. That's just a classic game. We actually have a life-size version of that game where literally it's 4 feet off the ground or 5 feet off the ground. And
it's fabulous.
Oh, man. We put it outside in the backyard in the summertime because it could take the rain and all that stuff. And I cannot believe when we have people over how many people, adults too, were like, oh, no, I'm picking it up. Let's go. Let's do this thing.
it's amazing. One of the great things about those classic games is that everybody seems to know the rules, so there's no explanation. You just jump right in.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. Other kids' games listed here, Operation was a big one as a kid. I mean, you really didn't have any electronic toys back then to speak of, and that seemed like it was pretty close.
It was high tech. That was high tech when I was a kid.
It was. And then we got low tech games ranked here. Twister, you know, always fun, but that's not just for kids, right?
Right. No, it, definitely not. It's, you know, the older I get, the less likely it is I would survive a game of Twister, but definitely not just for kids.
My kids, I know, like Hungry Hungry Hippos, Mouse Trap, Jenga is a big one that they like. And then there's the family ones that you can really sit down and play. And, you know, every time that we take a little vacation, we always bring Uno with us because it's just a great, you know, time filler.
And everybody can play it, right? It takes so many players. You know, you can get a whole bunch of people together at once. It's wonderful.
Cranium. I've never played that. What's that one all about?
It's a party game. It's got about four or five completely different elements to it. There's a little bit of trivia. There's a little bit of charades, a little bit of a couple different things in there. So it's a good mix of party games and a little bit of knowledge, but it's a lot of fun.
Trouble's another fun one because the game itself just has, right? I mean, it has fun things to do. Just so simple.
Pop-o-matic.
Yeah, that's it. Right. That's as simple as that. Sorry is another one, really big in the 70s, but also made famous on the Carol Burnett Show. You mentioned Ticket to Ride. I've never played that. So tell me about that again.
Sure. So Ticket to Ride, it's, relatively new. It came out about 10 years ago, but it's been a big hit and easy to find now. It's a map of the United States, and it plays a little bit like Rummy. You collect cards of various colors, and then you play those cards to put your trains down on the board because you're trying to connect, say, Philadelphia to Chicago and New York to Dallas, something like that. And so you're building your routes, and you know, every now and then you might get in the way of somebody else.
Gotcha. There's one vintage game that I shouldn't say one. There's plenty of vintage games. I collect them. I don't play them. I've never played the Laverne and Shirley game, but I have it. I've never played Get Smart, the Carol Burnett Show game, whatever it might be. I've got some really unusual. We play the Happy Days game.
I have
to say that's a lot of fun. Very Monopoly-esque, I guess, in its own right. But the one that we always play is Password, like the old one with the little plastic sleeves.
So great. You could suck me into a game of Password in an instant. One of my all-time favorites.
We are talking to Eric Arneson. He's a game enthusiast and author of the upcoming book, How to Host a Game Night. And we're going to talk a little bit about that and more just after this on 720 WGN.
H7. Hit. B6. Miss. H8. Hit. C5.
Battleship, a great game of strategy, action, and suspense.
Miss. H6.
You sank my battleship.
The game you can play anywhere. Battleship from Milton Bradley.
State player on 720 WGN. We're talking to Eric Arneson. He's a game enthusiast and author of the upcoming book, How to Host a Game Night. So talk to me a little bit about this book you've been working on, Eric.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier that tabletop games have never been more popular, and I think you're dead on right about that. And this is kind of my love letter to game nights. It's a practical guide to help people have game nights. More people than ever are getting together and putting together game nights with their family, with their friends. And, you know, some of it, you know, it seems simple. Oh, what do you mean? We're just going to get together. We're going to play games. But there's a lot of thought that can go into it, and so it's part practical guide and part love letter to game nights, and full of hilarious stories that things that have happened to me, things that have happened to people I've talked to for the book.
You're about setting the tone, food, drinks, that type of thing, just to kind of make the atmosphere comfortable. You're talking a little bit about that too, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, talking about the food, talking about what games you select, what games work for different groups, different size groups. The fact that, you know, we talked earlier about heavy strategy games. You don't want to pull out a heavy strategy game when everybody else at the table is looking to play, you know, Trivial Pursuit, right? So there's a lot that goes into it.
Now, when you're talking about game night for adults, like you're getting together, we talked about games of strategy and kids and so forth. What do you consider the ultimate games to have when you have a group of adults hanging out?
You know, I think that, here's the situation, Dave. These days, and I'm not making this up, there are thousands of games published every year. The internet has connected game developers and game publishers with the public in ways that were previously unimaginable. So there's literally something out there for anybody. Whatever theme you're interested in, if you like trains, you've got Ticket to Ride. If you like, you know, if you want a game about farming, there's Agricola. So you think of something you'd be interested in, and I guarantee you there's a game out there about it.
You know, but as we talk about getting together with adults and stuff and what's easy to kind of pull together and play, I would say there's a good category here that maybe starts with something like Trivial Pursuit, like something that's a little more pop culture based, right?
Sure, absolutely. Trivial Pursuit is always a good standby. You talked about Password. There's another game called Codenames, which is a very similar concept to Password, but a little different structure that's been popular lately. And it has a Disney version and a Harry Potter version and all sorts of things. So if you enjoy games like Password, but you want to get some of that pop culture in there, Codenames might be a good place to go.
Pictionary is another good one. You know, think about party games. Yeah, right.
Yeah, absolutely. Pictionary is a classic party game. Scattergories is always a fun one to pull out. I was a huge fan, still am a huge fan of Balderdash and Beyond Balderdash. Some great sort of bluffing games where you make up funny definitions of words, and so many great party games.
But, I mean, you talk about Scattergories. It's a game that, you know, you can come up with these creative answers. It would be about U.S. presidents. It could be about TV shows. It could be about vegetables. It's just there's really kind of something for everyone. Catchphrase is another good one.
Catchphrase is terrific. And, again, that's another one that can work with a very large group because you just divide into two teams and get to it. Catchphrase is terrific.
Cards Against Humanity.
Excellent game, a little off color, so definitely not for the younger crowd, but an excellent game, especially if, as you said, you're getting together with your adult friends.
So if you haven't pulled out a board game in a while, as we've been talking about this, if you had to, okay, look, if you had to play three games, what three games would you suggest somebody kind of kick off a new night of family game night?
Fantastic question. I think I would go, you want to make sure that you have a game that a number of people can play together, right? If you're looking for a classic, I think I'd go with Clue. Maybe Monopoly, but there are, as much fun as Monopoly is, there are a lot of people who have some traumatic memories of arguments about Monopoly because it can get so so cutthroat. So I think I'd probably go with Clue there. I love dexterity games like Jenga, and Jenga is a classic, so simple, so fun, and it just builds the tension, right, until that tower falls. And I think for a third game, there's a wonderful development over the last 12 years of cooperative games where everybody's on the same team sort of working against the game, and it's a little on the nose given what we're all going through right now, but the best of the bunch is called Pandemic, and it's a map of the world, and everybody is working together to cure four diseases, and it's just a wonderful sensation to work together and all of you together beat the game.
Are there any games that you've done research on that were from, you know, the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s that aren't being made anymore that you would love to see come back?
You know, I played some James Bond games. I have about four or five James Bond games, and I hadn't played them in forever, and pulled them out 6 months ago, and my wife and I and some friends, we played one each weekend. There's some really interesting, good things going on there, so so my vote would be to get those James Bond games, give them a new life.
What's the premise of some of them? Because I am going to look into that.
Sure, I think Thunderball was the best one, and it's always James Bond, right? And in one of the games, you're all playing sort of James Bond-ish characters, but in another game, there's one James Bond, and then there's one playing Spectre, and it's a really sort of intense showdown. So there's look for the ones with Sean Connery on the cover, and you'll find some interesting games there.
Do you go beyond board games, your love of gaming? Do you, I mean, any of the electronic games, pinball, any of that type stuff?
Oh, pinball, yeah. I grew up in the 70s and the 80s.
Yeah,
so
me too, yeah.
I am a perfect candidate for arcade nostalgia. So Pac-Man, Asteroids, Defender, sure, absolutely.
I have Gary Stern on a couple times a year who, you know, still is making phenomenal pinball games. I bought a Batman 66 game, which is just terrific. But then I also have some classics from the 70s as well. But you know, that's not something obviously you do. You can do it with a group of people if you've got a bunch of games that you can all participate in. But really, you know, the one thing that I think has really drawn people together is the board game. And I think hopefully we'll see some more of that happening and some new games coming out to entertain families.
I agree. I think so. You know, it's never been a better time to be interested in board games. The selection of games available, even at stores like Target, is just phenomenal. There's such a great selection of games. Some of those throwback editions that you were talking about before with the wonderful art and graphic design, all the way up to games that have just come out in the last year or two, but which are wonderful for families to play together.
Let me just ask you before I let you go, how many board games you got?
My collection peaked at over 1,000 right now after we've moved, and I went through a focused effort to get that down. I'm at about 350 right
Whoa,
now.
Whoa, that's pretty good. I was going to say 900 is what my guess was. But your wife's probably pretty thrilled that you've trimmed it down to the ones that you really play, right?
That's right. We have a lot more space now. It's good.
That's very cool. Eric Arneson, his upcoming book is called How to Host a Game Night. And again, pleasure talking to you, and happy gaming, pal.
So much fun, Dave. Thanks a lot.
All right, take care. All right, history's coming up next on 720 WGN.